The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, we've spoken about the pros and cons of electric vehicles many times in the past on this show. But when it comes to electrified public transport, Ireland has the lowest level of an electrified rail fleet in the entire European Union. Change on the way, though, as our reporter Josh Crosby travelled to Poland with Éireann Róid Éireann to inspect a new fleet that is on its way to our shores, back from his travels and with me in studio. So, Josh, what services are going to be changing and becoming electric?
So, Kieran, this is all part of the DART Plus programme. There are 185 electric and battery-operated carriages being developed for services that will run on the Drogheda to Dublin route. So they'll be fitted with lithium-ion batteries that will sit on the roof of the train, and they'll be powered by the batteries for a section of the trip from Drogheda until they join up with the overhead lines at Malahide. They will then kick in and power the carriages through electricity. There are a raft of new developments, though, happening under the DART Plus programme with Éireann Róid Éireann. It predicts that this will treble the electrification of the service, and not just the electric and battery trains coming as part of this project that's costing 2.6 billion. There are three route extensions at Maynooth, Drogheda and Hazelhatch, a trackside electrical system that provides power for the train, a new depot west of Maynooth, a new maintenance depot, a new national train control centre, and then city centre resignalling. But to hear from someone who understands the mechanics of all this and how it'll work in reality, I met with Chief Mechanical Engineer with Éireann Róid Éireann, Peter Smith, at the Alstom factory in Poland. Peter explains how the charging will work.
Well, this fleet is battery electric, so it can operate as a DART train on the DART network, but it can also operate outside of the DART network. For example, from Malahide to Drogheda, it can run without electricity because it has storage on board, has battery storage.
And on the batteries, when it comes to charging then, how and when will this take place and what's the range?
Well, the range is 80 kilometres, between 80 and 100 kilometres range, subject to certain things like climatic conditions and things like that. But worst case, it's 80 kilometres. And the idea with this fleet is it will start service in Drogheda and it will run into Dublin City and then back to Drogheda to be recharged at the end of its journey. Charging time is approximately 20 minutes for that journey time.
20 minutes for a DART?
Yeah, it's a fast charge system on the overhead. It's been constructed in Drogheda for us.
Many EV drivers would be surprised with that length of time.
Well, I mean, when the train reaches Drogheda, the models show that the state of charge would probably be about 30 to 40% anyway. So the batteries won't be flat. And the charge time is enabled because the battery system is cooled and heated as needs be.
And is it possible then to upgrade the battery or the carriages when newer, improved technology becomes available? Can you go back and tweak? Or
the batteries are modular. You know, we're buying an electric version of this train as well as a battery version. And the batteries can be fitted at a later stage or they can be taken off at a later stage. And we can also upgrade if new battery technology comes along in the next 8-10 years, which I'm sure it will. We can add further battery capacity onto the train for the same weight or the energy density.
Peter Smith there from Éireann Róid Éireann. So what stage is all of this at, Josh? When can passengers expect to be on one of these trains?
So like any major project, they take time. The first order was put in 2021. COVID was thrown into the mix during all of the design process. But things are starting to take shape now. The first of this fleet is set to arrive in Ireland in September, but they then have to go through various different testing on the track, off the track, inspections, certifications. We should then see these trains in use by the end of 2025. But it was great to get a sneak peek, if you like, at the production stage over in Katowice in Poland. It's all hands on deck at the Alstom factory. This is a French train manufacturing company. It supplies to projects all around the world, and they're using parts from around the globe as well to go into these trains. The doors are from Czech, brakes are from France, windows from Poland, the shell is from China. There are parts from India, Morocco, the list goes on. I met with Alstom's Ireland Managing Director, Piers Wood, at the factory, who says they have a similar system of this model down under in Melbourne, Australia.
Unfortunately, whilst passengers might be able to see the train, they won't be able to get on for it. But it's very important. We have to go through some very strict testing. We also have to go through some certification underneath the European Rail Authority, which takes a minimum of 5-6 months to actually achieve. So it only being towards the end of 2025 that those trains will be ready for passenger service. But safety is absolutely paramount in anything that we do in the railway industry, which is why it takes so long to get these certifications.
And where have you carried out similar projects, similar infrastructure already around the world? And does this type of train suit certain services, certain environments, certain settings more so than others?
So basically, this train is based on what we call the Extrapolis train. It's a family of trains that Alstom has, which we put into service around the world in different locations.
So it's your brand of car,
yes,
basically.
It's a brand of... it's a product name we have for the a type of commuter regional train. So this particular train, what is different to the existing DART, is it's completely open through the length of it. So there's not individual cars. It's like you can walk straight down from one end to the other, which gives a much better feeling of space, open environment with a lot more light, bigger windows. I personally use the DART at the moment every day, so I know what's coming and I know how different it's going to be. The other thing, important thing to note is that not a lot of people know it, but in Ireland, the gauge of the track is wider than in the rest of Europe. So only similar countries like Australia have this type of track gauge.
And what are some of the main challenges involved with developing a project to this scale?
So a lot of it's down to the supply chain.
It's difficult to source materials at times?
At times it has been. Clearly we went through COVID when the contract was signed just before COVID started. There was an impact on the supply chain, raw materials, etc. But we managed to cope with that so far, and we're integrated all together. As you can see here by the first train, it's coming together. So the project is now getting real.
That's Piers Wood from Alstom. You met some workers over there, did you too? Irish amongst them?
I did, Kieran. They say you'll find someone from Ireland anywhere you go. And over there it was the same, a young man from Cork who was out there in a graduate programme after coming from UCD. Yeah, so when it comes to actually stepping inside the carriages and measurement, they're pretty much the same width as the existing trains due to surrounding infrastructure like your bridges, platforms and tracks. They would have to stay pretty similar. And that's the same goes for the length of the darts you see today due to the same reasons as the length of your platform. But when you step inside, they really do feel more spacious. I don't know, there's more room between the seats, there's larger windows letting in more light, there's no division between each car, so you can see right down through it like you can on the Lewis. There are flip down seats similar to those you might see on a bus to allow more space for your wheelchairs and prams. All in all, the five car darts will have 204 seats. They'll have a capacity for just over 550 people. There are 20 priority seats, 2 wheelchair spaces, 2 bicycle areas and 2 family areas. That will obviously be doubled then when they're joined up as a 10 car. They can reach a speed of up to 145 kilometres an hour, so not bad going. So to hear from the workers on the ground over in Poland, I met with Chief of Operation for the Irish project, Gabriel van der Valk, and Anna Zawuski and Matthew Murnan, as I said, the man from Ireland. Gabriel starts off by telling me about where they're sourcing some of the materials.
So we are buying a lot of parts here on this train in China. The flat pack, the carbody shell, so the welded panels are manufactured, welded, extruded, machined in China. We have over 100 suppliers working only on this project. One of them is Irish, at least. And we have on one train around 5,000 parts.
So a global effort will be reaching the train tracks of Ireland.
Yes, definitely. We are purchasing parts all over the world. There is parts from the US as well. Compared to the current DART fleet, it's a game changer, absolutely, for Ireland.
And when it comes to the customer experience, what can they expect when the DART Plus comes into action?
So in all our trains, the design is the key part. Not only the technical part, but also the passenger experience. In case of these trains, I know that these are in Ireland the first trains that were really designed with public consultation. So the passengers were really asked about the opinion, different group of commuters, families, people with certain disabilities, but also people who are very active, cyclists and so on, to put many features which would help them in commuting by train and also to select the train as their first choice of transportation.
And there's no shortage of USB ports either. There's 2 different types of USB ports.
We hope that for now, for the reality that we have now, there is no shortage. Let's hope there will be not even more needs for that. But at this stage, that was also taken into account with the design.
My name is Matthew Moran. I'm a graduate engineer working specifically with the validation team at the moment.
So they're going to have you now making sure that everything going back home to Ireland is up to scratch.
Yeah, exactly. So working with a lot of people, working with a lot of different disciplines on the train and just helping make sure everything goes swimmingly. It's nice to be working up close with the trains themselves. And so far, Poland's been quite nice. Just this weekend, the weather turned really lovely. I've joined the rugby team, been able to travel a bit. So it's actually, my experience here in Poland so far has been fantastic.
What's it like now, leaving college to come working on a project this size?
It's taken a bit of getting used to it. It's very cool. And sometimes I kind of have to pinch myself that I'm working on such a big project and I will see these trains moving around Dublin in the next couple of years.
All right, that is interesting. Interesting experience, I'm sure, straight out of college, moving to Poland. What about the trains themselves, though? So these are coming in September, as you say, Josh. And what after that? I mean, are there similar projects in the works?
Well, this load, yeah, coming in September as part of the first order. The second order won't be entering service until the middle of 2026. But this 10-year framework agreement lasts up to 2031. And what was agreed in this is up to the allowance of up to 750 vehicles. Now, we're a bit away from that now at 185 carriages. But when it comes to expanding this type of model out to other routes, other regions, a spokesperson from the Department of Transport says this Dart Plus service could very well be used as a template for what's to come down the line. While I was at the factory, I met with Andrew Ebrill, who's Head of Public Transport Investment and Policy at the Department of Transport. I asked him what plans there are to expand this type of investment.
This is a very important project. These carriages will allow for the expansion of the Dart, initially up to Drogheda from 2026, and then to other areas around the Greater Dublin area in the years after that. It'll involve replacing diesel trains with modern electric and battery electric trains, providing for a more sustainable mode of transport.
And could this be used as a template for further rollouts in the future when it comes to this type of transport?
I think so, yes. This involves, as I said, replacing diesel train sets with electric and battery electric. That can be applied elsewhere, and indeed there are plans or there are analyses ongoing at the moment in relation to a potential rollout of further electric services in future. We have an all-island strategic rail review. It's in draft form, not finalised yet, but in that draft strategy we envisage electrifying much of the network. The key intercity lines, for example, will be electrified in the decades ahead.
And are there other solutions that could be looked at?
I think so. For example, our more lightly used lines, our more lightly used train lines, for example, could have battery electric operation rather than full on overhead electric wires, or potentially perhaps hydrogen is a solution in the long run, but the jury's out on that.
Andrew Ebrill from the Department of Transport, wrapping up that report from our own Josh Crosby from Poland, the factory, the Alstom factory in Poland, where the next fleet for the Dart currently under construction. You might be able to get on them as soon as this coming September. Josh, thank you very much for that.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.